Today on Annenberg Radio News.
You have a already shaky parent-child relationship, and now you've got the logistical burdens of incarceration.
The challenges of building parent-child relationships through prison bars. Good afternoon, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 15th, 2008. I'm Laura Weber. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa unveiled details of his gang-fighting strategy today, one day after delivering his State of the City. As Matt Mundy reports, the plan zeroes in on high-crime areas of the city.
The mayor unveiled his new $24 million gang prevention plan at a news conference this morning. The mayor said that reducing gang violence was at the center of his plans for the city.
That public safety is the primary obligation of city government. And ending the scourge of gun and gang violence is at the heart of that obligation.
The mayor announced that $500,000 will go to prevention programs in the high-risk areas of Cypress Park, Ramona Gardens, Baldwin Village, Pacoima, Florence, and Newton. He also created four new gang reduction and youth development zones, including two in South LA and one in Watts. The city already has eight of these zones. The mayor was joined at the news conference by City Controller Laura Chick, Advancement Project Director Connie Rice, and other city leaders. Matt Mundy, Annenberg Radio News.
An alleged gang member is scheduled to be arraigned today for the shooting of a 19-year-old woman driving on the 110 freeway. Jessica Ortega is charged with murder. Police say they are still looking for other suspects. A new report is calling for an overhaul of LAPD's SWAT team. The panel that compiled the report found SWAT officers were too quick to use force. Chief William Bratton says he will implement some of the report's recommendations. American Airlines pilots protested around the world today, including at LAX. Captain David Hossig told Annenberg TV News that management isn't doing enough to ensure customer satisfaction.
A customer shows up at 10 o'clock for their 11 o'clock flight, there should be an airplane here ready and available to them. They should be able to depend that ticket they purchased is going to get them where they intend to go. And we're here to ask management to put their efforts, as much effort as we do, day in and day out, to make sure that that is available.
American Airlines pilots say the stock bonuses expected to go to management should be used instead for new airplane parts and safety checks. The L.A. City Council voted down a bill today to dissolve the Coliseum Commission. Council members say lawyers for the county and the city have determined it would be illegal to get rid of the stadium's current governing body. The commission is composed of state, county, and city officials. Senator Mark Ridley Thomas proposed the bill after difficult negotiations between the Coliseum and USC, the stadium's primary tenant. Janitors, actors, longshore workers, and teachers rallied at the La Brea Tar Pits this morning in what they're calling the Fight for Good Jobs. Actor Asai Morales spoke on behalf of the Screenwriters Guild.
Nobody wants a strike. We don't want a strike. The town doesn't want a strike. But we will not be forced into a position where we have to take less and less and less for less. Okay?
Local unions are taking part in the Hollywood to the Docks March, a three-day march that began today in Hollywood and will finish at the docks in San Pedro on Thursday. The group is continuing its march around Los Angeles this afternoon. We now go to Stephanie Meisenheimer, who is live at their latest stop at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in South L.A.
Hi, Laura. The Hollywood to the Docks March continues right now. About 300 people have just left St. Mark's Lutheran Church in South L.A., and here they rallied for affordable housing and protested Proposition 98. Laura, that proposition will be on the ballot in June and would eliminate certain renter protection laws and would phase out rent control if passed. A delegate of the L.A. Federation of Labor told me that members of the march have walked 6 miles today, and the focus of the rally is different at every stop. Right now, they're walking down Vermont Street to Manual Arts High School, where their focus will be the state budget. Back to you.
Thanks, Stephanie. Light winds will bring still cooler temperatures tonight as we hit low 50s. We'll see low clouds and morning fog these next 2 days, but it will get warmer around the weekend with highs up in the mid to upper 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, hear how one South LA group is reaching out to kids to keep them out of gangs. Nearly 11,000 women are locked up in California prisons, and many of them are mothers. David Chong talks to some visitors at the women's prison in Southern California and learns about the challenges of bringing children and their incarcerated mothers together.
Visiting hours at the California Institution for Women don't start for another half hour. Most of the dozen or so visitors who came early this Saturday sit quietly at the picnic benches. Others get changed so they can buy snacks from vending machines inside. Visitors have to carry plastic sandwich bags or clear coin purses to hold their money, since they can't bring purses or wallets. Guards begin calling out names of people approved to enter the visiting area, just on the other side of the barbed wire fence.
I started doing time when I was 18.
Edward Calvillo waits outside while his two young children go inside to see their mother. Calvillo says he's not allowed in the facility because of past criminal convictions.
I was in for one murder and 15 attempted murders on my first run. My second run was an ex-con with an AK-47.
The state conducts background checks on all visitors, and people with serious criminal records like Calvillo are generally not approved. He says he has to bring the children's grandfather on these visits.
Because there has to be an adult in there to watch him while she comes out.
The grandfather couldn't
come. If he couldn't come, then they couldn't come. They're not going to let two little kids go in there and wait for her to have a visit.
On the other side, Calvillo's kids play on the swings while their mother pushes them. Other inmates and visitors sit nearby chatting amiably. Calvillo says even though his criminal past is far behind him, he acutely understands how important visitation is for prisoners.
Being locked up myself, it means a lot to have family support you and to come and visit you, even if it's not so often, as long as it's sometimes, you know, it shows that people do care still and that there is something out there to better yourself for.
Christina Smith brought her four grandchildren to see their mother. They range in age from 3 to 10 years old and can barely sit still, playing tag and chasing each other around the small waiting area. Their father couldn't get approval to visit, so Smith tries to come as much as she can.
If I wasn't to bring them, she wouldn't know this little one at all. It was hard the first year because Justine, being so small, she didn't even know my daughter hardly. So when I would bring them for the first, I'd say 8 months to a year, she wouldn't even go to her.
Young children cannot sustain a relationship through mental images, for example, or letters, the way an older child or an adult can.
Denise Johnson is the director for the Center for Children of Incarcerated Parents.
So for younger children, contact is really, really important because they really don't have the cognitive capacity to maintain those images the way the rest of us do.
Johnson says drug abuse and mental illness are common problems that keep women in prison. And those that are parents have often already given up the kids to grandparents or other caretakers.
And so these are kids that have had multiple separations from their mothers already, or their fathers, before their parent gets incarcerated. So you have a shaky parent-child relationship, and now you've got the logistical burdens of incarceration.
Drug-related offenses put Enriqueta Duarte's daughter in this prison in 2002. She had brought her grandchildren to see their mother, but they were reluctant to come.
To tell you the truth, they don't want to come in. Because she's never been around with them. And they know she's the mother. But not too much attached to her.
Their mother's sentence ends in 2010. But the grandmother said her daughter would probably end up back in the system.
Oh, she stay out maybe a year or two, and then she comes back again. Because I know that she's getting too old. And she'll never change, because when you're that age and don't want to change, don't change. And it's something that drugs consume you completely.
But Duarte still visits every month because in the end, she says, that woman is still her daughter. David Chong, Annenberg Radio News.
Now back to our top story. The mayor announced his gang fighting plan earlier today. Reporter Sonata Lee tells us what the mayor's new plan entails.
Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa unveiled his plan today to overhaul the city's current gang fighting strategy. The mayor first announced his $24 million prevention plan during yesterday's State of the City address. Today he provided specific details on what his anti-gang program entails.
We're making a strategic, targeted investment in the neighborhoods most affected by gang violence and the kids most likely to join gangs.
The mayor's plan will expand the number of gang reduction zones in the city from 8 to 12, with each zone receiving $500,000 for intervention services. The zones will be located in the areas of Southwest LA, Rampart, Watts, and 77th Street. The mayor said that this new targeted approach will be more effective than efforts in the past that canvassed the entire city.
We spread out the programs, as someone said a few minutes ago, like peanut butter across the city, and really didn't touch the problem, really weren't effective in our approach.
City Controller Laura Chick will help manage the gang prevention overhaul. She joined the mayor to announce the new strategy.
We unfortunately invented gangs, and now we're going to invent the way out of it and show the rest of the nation and other countries as well.
Advancement Project Director Connie Rice applauded the city's effort to combat gang violence.
I think what today represents is the concerted decision by the leadership of this city, led by the mayor, that business as usual has ended.
UCLA sociology professor Georgia Leap says that she is enthusiastic and supportive of the mayor's new plan, but she adds that it is important to show that anti-gang services are going to work.
This is really the time that now prevention and intervention services are going to finally be able to show that they're effective, and we're going to have some kind of idea what works in Los Angeles, and potentially just as importantly, what does not work.
Although Leap is optimistic about the mayor's new plan, she says that we shouldn't expect to see results overnight.
This problem took a long time to develop. It's going to take a long time to address, and I think we have to be patient.
The mayor's gang fighting plan is part of his commitment to public safety, which includes adding 1,000 more officers on LA streets. Sonata Lee, Edinburg Radio News.
A place called Home is a gang prevention center on a sizable, inviting compound in South Los Angeles. Earlier today, I spoke with Executive Director Theon Gordon about the goals of the center. She says the program was founded by Deborah Constance as after-school tutoring.
She started with 12 kids in the basement of a church. It grew immediately to 40, and the next thing you know, there were 400 coming in and out of her doors every day. What Deborah created was something that was just organically growing, from helping kids with homework and giving them a snack in the basement of a church to having dance programs, art programs, music programs with a recording studio, a school for dropout recovery, and just everything. It just blossomed and grew.
I saw kids doing like some sort of exercise cardiovascular program when I walked in, and then I heard that there's a music studio here. What have you found has been most effective for pulling kids in, getting kids interested, or keeping them interested in staying at a place called Home?
Every child is different and every situation is different. So all of the programs that we have work as a cohesive network to bring these kids together and help them find their purpose and themselves. Our art program, it's not a very huge program and it's not heavily funded, but we have students that are just absolutely so talented, amazingly talented in their artwork that you would think that's the only program we need at a place called Home. Then we have students who come into our programs and participate in the sports and the recreational activities. We have a student who was ranked as the second fastest runner in the country and had never even run track before, but we saw her ability to run and we started putting her in some track competitions, and the next thing you know, she was running and winning trophies. Whatever the children gravitate towards is where they find their calling or where they find something that can help them escape from whatever they've been going through on the streets.
On a larger scale, as far as the city is concerned, what do you think needs to be focused on now that Mayor Villaraigosa has introduced a renewed interest in gang prevention?
I think that the mayor is doing a good job in terms of what he's introduced to implement here in the city. And that's really focusing on the schools and on the after-school community centers and faith-based organizations that can help the schools. And that basically means providing a safe place for children, exactly what a place called home is, a safe place for our youth to go and participate in activities, be it night basketball or be it a music studio. Having a place to go is the number one thing that our kids need. When parents are working 2 and 3 jobs to try and make ends meet, or when parents are just absent from the household, it's always good to have something that's similar to a family or a place where you can go, where you feel safe and where you feel like people care. That seems to be what the mayor is proposing in terms of with Parks and Recreation opening their doors for longer hours and just having a place. Instead of kids hanging out on a corner and getting in trouble, they can hang out in a youth center, they can hang out at a basketball court and do something a little more productive.
That was Theon Gordon, executive director of A Place Called Home. On the heels of the recently resolved writer's strike, the Screen Actors Guild and Hollywood producers have started talks on a new contract. They are hoping for a 3-year deal covering movies and primetime television. As with the Writers Guild, improved compensation for the shows and movies distributed online is a key issue. The actors' contract expires June 30th. Fans will be seeing 42 at Dodger Stadium tonight. 42 is the number Jackie Robinson wore when he broke Major League Baseball's color barrier 61 years ago. Players on both the Dodgers and the Pittsburgh Pirates will wear 42 in tonight's game, which begins at 7. The Dodgers will also honor 11 students with awards from the Jackie Robinson Scholarship Foundation. Midnight is the deadline for your tax return to the IRS. It's usually a busy day at the post office, as Hannah Kim reports.
When it comes to sending in taxes, there are those who file early.
3-4 weeks ago.
February something?
Those that wait till the last minute.
Always do. Procrastinator.
And some who haven't even started.
I'm going to try to get it done today if I can.
Post office officials are expecting huge lines tonight and are preparing for the rush by keeping 8 post offices open late.
You have to be ugly.
The local Vermont post office added a large collecting bin to keep wait times short.
We just set it up for those who want to come, so it's easy. Just drop it in and just keep on going.
Some people avoided the post office altogether by filing their taxes online. Hannah Kim, Annenberg Radio News.
Next month, taxpayers will begin getting refunds as part of the economic stimulus package. A group of Cub Scouts from Hacienda Heights came to our studios today to tell us what they would do with their refund.
Taxes are like stuff that you would pay for lots of things. I would pay for a big flat screen TV.
I'll pay for a flat screen, a mansion, and more Pokemon cards.
I would pay for a brother like Gabriel.
Now we check in with Sean Chitness to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Laura, coming up tonight, we're going to be talking about the Pope's first visit to the U.S. Today, he met with the President and the First Lady and plans to stay in the D.C. area as well as going to New York. Today, he had comments about the church sex scandal in this country. We're going to have reaction from local Catholics as well as church leaders. We are also going to be looking at the last day to turn in your tax returns and what options you have. Students have been running to the post office today, but we'll also have some tips for you if you haven't gotten your tax return in. As you know, the deadline is midnight, but there are going to be some post offices and other places you can go to even beyond midnight. We'll have details on that. So tune in to Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision and, of course, on the web anytime at atvn.org.
Thanks, Sean. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Kelly Kidwell and Timothy Beckworth. Catherine Reese is our producer. Matt Mundy is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Laura Weber.